All right. Sorry about that glitch there. Hey, everybody. What's up? My name's Dan Hafner. Welcome back into the show. Appreciate all of you joining. I am joined today. This is one of the first interviews I've done in quite a while, so I'm super excited. We're going to dive into some AI conversation, some creativity stuff, kind of more of the human side of things. So I'm really excited to bring you guys this guest here. His name is Michael Magruch. He said not to do a big interview, but he is the author of 5 books. He's a podcaster, just like me, a speaker, done a lot of really, really cool things. So I won't do the big, long intro for him. Michael, introduce yourself to us. Let us know a little bit about you before we get started.
Hi, Dan. First of all, thank you for having me. And I was born in Vienna, Austria. And I was a sick child. I went to the school when I was 7. And then I found out I'm extremely neurodiverse. I couldn't read, stuttered. I wrote 6 books and I have, I need the computer to read them to me, basically. So that's still, so I'm not like the superstar or anything. But I got, you know, I hit the wall till I was 50, and I found out that it's about human. What is a human? We never look at that. We always look, where are you working? I'm working in legal field. I'm working in tech field. We are so system relevant, and that's all we're striving for. And I got a lot of successes in my life. Not like, you know, huge successes, but whatever my successes were. And what I found is, this is what I found when I was 50. When I reached the success, it didn't do anything. It just was a high feeling for a day. It's almost like you reached a quarter and you, or surpassed a quarter, your quarter, your financial quarter. And so you're happy, but you can't even celebrate the win because, you know, tomorrow you got to start for the second quarter, you know, and right. it's so you win the Oscar. Okay. You got the Oscar, but what are you going to do now? So you do the next one. And it never fulfills you. If you don't be in the moment and enjoy, like you and I, right now, I'm very fulfilled because I have to focus on you, which pushes me in the moment. And I have to use all my 6 senses because we don't know each other. I have to use my 6 senses to align to you, adapt. That's the 3rd superpower that we have. And so, you know, we dance, the dance of life, which is basically with all humans. And that's where fulfillment is born. That's when you say, I have a fulfilled life, is that you dance with other humans. It's not to be system relevant because the Oscar itself doesn't do anything. And this is the whole, what this is my introduction, where I got into human centricity or system relevant. And I think when your listeners can see that, it literally helped me 50%, at least made my life easier. Just seeing this, where am I concerned right now? Am I concerned to get that job, a promotion? Or am I concerned that my son is sick, you know? So the one is human centric. The other one is, oh, I got to think, do I get that new car? You know, do I get the raise? It's all system image stuff, you know?
Well, it's super interesting because I think, you know, we see example after example of this in our world now of materialism, right? It's just, it's all, especially with like, I think a little bit of a younger generation. I think we can talk about that because a lot of the demographic seems to be a little older on the show. But, you know, it's all about the selfie world, the TikTok world, the instant gratification, the materialism type of stuff. And it does, it strips away a little bit of your humanity. I mean, I went through this a little bit, I think, when I started into my own ventures, and especially being in the tech world of realizing eventually, maybe I focused too much on, like you said, the revenue, the systems, the technology, the learning of things, and kind of neglected my own humanity a little bit. So I can see how people go down that road.
Because you're conditioned. It's not your fault. I was the same way. You're conditioned to do this, and then it's always the promise. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a movie producer. Then I got to produce with Robert Evans who did The Godfather and Chinatown and all that stuff. So I actually got into that position. And then I never wanted to do it because it wasn't a creative job. It was more a financial job. And I'm not good in finances. I'm not a financial guy. I'm not to play with money doesn't do anything to me. I'd like to create stuff, you know, to have connections with humans, to collaborate, to find something in our collaboration. That's what fulfills me. But it's promised by you to the systems promise you to get fulfillment if you do what you did, what you just said. I'm sorry that I did that. No, no, don't be sorry. Everybody is conditioned like that. I was the same with me. It is the same with everybody else because the promise is the more people you have likes, that's the system success. You need to just, you don't need to find a million women. You need to find the one woman or the one partner, yeah, whatever you have. Yeah. You don't need to find a million. You don't need to have a million views, but in systems, money, you know, quantity is money. And when you have a lot of TikTok followers or Instagram followers and whatever, then you're the king. And supposedly you are fulfilled. So the same thing systems always use is that when you go in that position, when you are that leadership, or C level, when you get on this C level, you're going to be, everything is going to be happening. Nothing changes. Nothing changes, you know?
If anything, it gets harder, yeah. Yeah. It just harder, reminds me of a...
go ahead.
Sorry, it was a little glitchy there. I was just going to say, it reminded me of a new... I'm actually reaching out to him to have him on the show as well. He talks about this idea of a tiny empire of... You don't necessarily need to scale to the, everyone talks about scaling and like you said, the sexy numbers and the big followers and all that stuff, but maybe it's okay to just crack six figures in your business. Maybe that's all you ever want. Maybe you'd only need 10 clients at a time. Maybe you don't need 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or things like that. So it's very, very interesting. But I want to pull on that thread a little. Sorry, do you have one thing to add there?
No, I just think scaling is number one. Scaling is insane because if everybody scales, it's like, you know, if everybody gets from somebody else, it doesn't work. It's a collaborative thing. We are 8 billion people that are all one of one, but our power and what we experience is in the it's in the collaboration. It's in the growing. We all constantly all grow. And when we work together, we find things and discover things and discover ourselves. It's not about me being the most successful person. It's me finding why I'm alive, right? Yeah. And my uniqueness, because I'm one of one. I'm not like anybody else. You're not like anybody else. So because you're one of one, you gotta find what is this all about? And when you see your human-centric purpose, when you see, hey, I'm good when I talk to people or help people out, or when I do, I know how to get justice, you know, with humans. I know how to be balanced with humans. I know how to talk to humans, you know. You might be a preacher that naturally a preacher. And when you have that, then it's easy to implement yourself in systems. And then also you get the fulfillment from your uniqueness and not from your system relevance. See, if you know who you are, that's why they say self-awareness. If you know who you are, you're easier to integrate yourself in systems. And you don't know that when you're little, because until 7, you learn how to be, you know, how to be physical, basically. Then you learn you go into school, you learn how to be socially in a small thing, and then the world is the biggest, the job, you know? But without ever having learned what it is to be human. See, that's the whole thing. You have never learned to be what you go in school and you get already divided in where we need you in systems. And this is why we are so blind. And there's nobody to blame. We just collectively went in the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And that was one thing I wanted to pick up on. I put the thing down here called creativity because that was my next question for you. Was that was when I remember it was probably only, gosh, a year or two ago that I really kind of had that awakening in me of, like I said, kind of going down that path of like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. Here's how I'm gonna do it in business. Here's how I'm gonna make things work and make money and whatever. And then when I finally started to realize that the things that I was doing and building and helping people with really like became that creative outlet. Cause I never was into arts. I have terrible handwriting. Like I never considered myself an artist as I was more into sports. I was more, in that realm of things. And once I started seeing like creativeness or creativity is there a little bit of an echo?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe it's just on my end. Do you want me
to wear headphones? I could do that too if you want.
Oh no, that's okay. Maybe it's just on my end. Well, we'll see how. I don't hear it anymore. So, but what I was saying was, that creativity, it's a human thing, right? You don't see animals creating things. You don't see like my dogs don't create things. Things like that. Like, so it's a very interesting thing. So when it comes to this world of technology, is technology like a very natural thing for humans to create, and like if so, like why are we drawn to it? Why do we build it? Why do we create things in this world?
So number one, I defined when I looked in it, I said we are part of nature, right? It's obvious we are part of nature. We just are self-aware. And I was thinking, why are we self-aware? And this is my thesis. We are collaborative creator animals of nature that must be self-aware, because if I go in and cut down five trees and you watch me, that you can actually copy building a system. I build a house, a hut,
modeling.
You watch me, and an animal doesn't need to know. An elephant is an elephant, an ant is an ant. It does what it does. It does always the same function to keep nature in balance. We might be an experiment. We might be something, probably the most developed animal, because dogs learn also something. They can repeat stuff, and animals, right, and crows, we know. So we might be a higher evolved animal, but ours, that's why I call us the collaborative creator animal of nature. And what we do is creating systems like New York, Singapore, Google, Apple, Nike, all these things, religions, everything is a system that we created. And that's why we are self-conscious. That's why we are, I can tell you a story. I created language, so another creation that we created, so I can talk to you. Animals don't. They do non-lingual. They connect with each other. So we created languages. All over the world, we were spread all over the world, and it came in more and more together. And systems in that whole thing, there was this country's a system and that country's a system, and it came together and it just went into each other. And now we are so system dynamic. Our system dynamic is so high that it is more, it takes more. So if you want to be an artist, it takes more to do your posting, online, to have a website, to do the taxes, to do all that. And you cannot come to be an artist. And everybody needs to create in a way. So you don't need to be an artist. You have that muscle, because you wouldn't be able to create this podcast. You have that because basically what we do, we have an inspiration. I gotta make a podcast, okay? And then you make it, and then you make it physical. You create it in that idea that you had that wasn't right, physical, and you brought it into the physical, and now you have one. And when that gets longer and longer, you have a back catalog. You have all kinds of things that you created, and it came all from that one inspiration. I need to create it. And that's where the fulfillment comes, because it was your inspiration. It wasn't saying, hey, Dan, make a podcast. They said, I have no clue about podcast. I don't want to, I said, no, make it. It's great. It's great. It's going to make you successful. It's going to get you an Oscar. It's going to get you all that stuff, which is, this is how I get people to do my job. You know,
interesting. So you think it's actually healthier for you? Is it healthier for you to have an idea and actually bring it into fruition, even if you think like, hey, maybe I just want to do this podcast. Maybe it's never going to go anywhere. Maybe I'm going to have three listens. My mom and my aunt are going to listen to it. You know what I mean? Like, which is what happened when I started, right? But so does that still lead to a level of fulfillment, or does there need to be at least some level?
Because you know, one thing is that if it wouldn't work for you, you would stop it if there wasn't fulfillment. Because there's 1% of podcasters make 98% of the profits of the whole profits of podcasting. So it has to be passion. That's why also podcasting is very powerful, because people can relate to two people talking versus you have a team of 40 people, a newscast, and you just serve me something that I keep hooked, get the advertisings in, and it's a money proposition. So people can relate to it. News go down because the people can relate. They rather have a couple of pictures on a social media and get their news that way, because nobody wants to hear something forever. You know, people want to talk to each other. They want to relate. Oh, I can relate to Michael or Dan, you know, about this and this and this. And that makes you grow. And that changes your perspective, because the 8 billion people don't only have different DNA, different fingerprints, and different eyes. They only have a different perspective on life, because even if you're brother, if you have a brother, like I have two brothers, so if you have, we are completely different, because every one of us has a different, not only are we different in DNA and all that stuff, but we are different perspective on life. They believe something I don't believe. I believe something they, so keep that always in mind in anything you do, to be righteous or to be to say, oh, no, not that has to be the, no, nothing has to be anything, because 8 billion people have a total different, and there it breaks together. When you look at what is, because I'm not saying this is a theory. I said we are 8 billion different people. That's scientifically proven, you know? It's not, and we have different views on the life. That's from scientifically proven too. So when you look at that, at the system, at system dynamics, you almost look and says, it's very limited. Because if it was really, because why we created systems? We created systems and politics. Two systems we created. So politics is a system. And why did we create any system, which is religion, you know, countries or whatever, to represent each human? Because it's, you know, we know we need to be collaborative, we need to help each other out. And basically we created politics to be just, to have in our systems that we create, that New York or whatever, that there's justice, that there's equality. But equality, we cannot make it systemically. We cannot reverse engineer equality, what we already by nature are. We're just all different. But we are by nature equal. So to do it through back engineering, through, you know, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, we it's good for awareness, for system awareness, because we got blind in systems about certain groups of people. And now you have to make also the awareness that we are equal by nature. We are. And as much as you hate it, there's two things you might hate: that we're equal by nature and that we are one human family. Both are true and both are not. You cannot define it. Because if I put you on an island and you have everything there and you were totally shielded from the world, if the rest of the world is suffering, you feel it. There's no way. If Elon Musk goes with his rocket on Mars, he feels, because we're all interacting. We're all one of one. We're all interconnected. If you hate the person or not, because even if you hate that person, how often have you learned something from that? Everybody has a purpose. You just don't know the purpose. I don't know everybody. I don't know your purpose. I hardly know mine. But I know whenever I come together with humans, I get a sense of fulfillment, because I'm not looking at them. Oh, you're a different race. You're different gender. You're different sexuality. I don't look at you at that. I look at this. What is this? Why is this person in my life right now? and experience the experience with you. Like I'm dancing right now here, you know? So let's, you're the boss. Let's go.
Very interesting. Well, no, that's, so we're going to take a quick break here, but that's really, I love the island metaphor you made there. That's really, really interesting. So, but hey, on the other side of this, we're going to dive more into, like I promised at the beginning, the AI component of this. And and we'll get into that here. So we'll be back here in about a minute. All right.
Introducing Launchpad, the perfect partner to help you launch your dream project to the world. We know that time is of the essence, and we are here to help you make the most of it. With Launchpad, you'll get access to the most advanced digital tools and strategies to take your idea from a mere concept to a fully fledged success. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or a seasoned pro, we have everything you need to make your mark in the world. So why wait? It's time to take the leap and make your vision a reality. Launchpad, your ultimate launch partner. Let's make magic together.
My name is Adriana Morrison, host of the Health Revolution TV show. Join us Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where our mission is simple: engaging conversations, elevating health and wellness, empowering transformation. Right here on the Achieve TV channel on E3.
All right, welcome back. Let's bring Michael back in here. Whoops, that is just you. There we go. Now we're both here. All right, so this has been really fun so far. So let's talk about that, because when it comes to AI, I mean, I think everyone's kind of seen the explosion of, you know, ChatGPT and all this other stuff throughout this year. It's been really interesting. Like you said, when you said, hey, we create politics, we create systems in the world, we create these things, there's usually a need that arises to say, hey, we need to build something that, you know, does this. Or, you know, like I always think of farming as a really cool example of this, of like, you know, back, you know, people would just like harvest things by hand, and then somebody got the bright idea to build a wheel, and then somebody got the bright idea to build a wagon on the back of the wheel, and then somebody got a bright idea to put handles on that thing, and then next thing you know, you have a wheelbarrow, you know. And now you have these big combines. It's just like it's crazy, right? Yeah. So I think the world of technology has kind of gone that same way of, well, hey, I have this problem of something, and now I'm going to build a solution for it to fix that problem. But like you've said here, and you've kind of opened my eyes to, a lot of times that might be a problem that was created, and you're almost like treating a symptom, right? It's like it's almost if you have a cold, I'm taking something to treat my cough instead of trying to get rid of the cough itself. Mm-hmm. Like, can you add anything to that? Does that make sense?
No, you said exactly what I would have told you. I said fire the wheel, money, not the financial principles, but money are the best invention in the world, because I can exchange. See, a system of money helps me to represent my value in the world, meaning when I have chickens and people don't eat chickens, then we can use money that they get what they want and I get what I want, you know? So the exchange of my value, of my contribution, which got totally out of it. We sucked the systems, sucked the whole point of value, of human value, completely out of it. Now money is paper. And it only exists because of our beliefs. That doesn't mean it has to be covered with gold, but we are unconscious what we did to money. And that's why people say money is a bad thing. Money is the best thing in the world. But financial principles always push us into it's never enough. Why? Because you are punished when you don't have money, when you run out of money. When you have money and pay your taxes, you're not getting rewarded. There is no balance in systems. And that's what the balance of richer getting rich and poorer getting poor is not because the richer people are horrible people. That is not the case. It's pushed. The fear of never being enough is of rich people, the same as the beggar and the billionaire, both think their mind constructs and what they're thinking all day long, or what they're occupied is about money. How do I get money? And how do I get money to keep my lifestyle? It's the same. When the beggar, you know, a system is flawed when both sides, the good side of the system and the bad side, have the same problem. Life is not thinking about money. Life is about talking about life like you and I do. It's playing. It's fun. The most creative people are players. We look at animals. They always play. Always playing. Always, you know, teasing each other, having fun, whatever. We are part of that. You know, we don't have to do it all the time, but there's actually no seriousness. Serious is a systems thing. You got to be working. And people know the 4-hour work week is more profitable for the company and the people, and they still hate it. Because the more, it's about the play. What does it matter? If I have fun at work and create great stuff, what does it matter? You know, you can't do this. You can't do this. You know, he says, I am a guy that is a person. I work in hospitality a lot. You know, I'm in hospitality and I'm me. I'm not different than right here. I worked in, you know, spent under $200. You didn't get the thing, and I'm being like me, 100%. I'm the host. I'm, and people love it because I'm coming as a human being to them, not as, oh, it's so fine. Now wait, you know, no, people don't want that. That system told you you need to want that. You need to have your steak on a silver platter and whatever. You need to be treated and 100% and falsely treated because the person doesn't feel like welcome. Nobody is welcome. Everybody behaves. There's no sense of welcome in hospitality. People don't, unless you own it, most people, they don't, they do regiment. Regiment is not feeling, oh, Dan, you're welcome. Come here. Let's, you know, I have something good for you. Let me taste it. Let me cut you a little bit off. That's what people want, being human.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's interesting. When you, that hospitality thing rang true to me right when I heard that, because, you know, I was always, I don't know if I was probably raised that way. Don't, but yeah. you know, opening doors for people, holding doors for people, yeah. Please and thank you. Just over if there's, I mean, I'm not around a whole lot of younger people, but I tend to see when I am that doesn't really ring true to me anymore. I don't really see a lot of that. Yeah. So where do you think this is going? Do you think we're doomed? Do you think that people are redeemable? Do you think that we've just gone too far already, that we've just deteriorated? We've built our own, you know, device of destruction. Have we done that?
No, I don't think we are doomed ever. Even though you see the wars and everything, I don't think we're doomed. We're just unconscious. And when we are unconscious, you can't blame anybody. Look, if I have a disease and I don't know I have it, and you said you're sick, I don't know. When you don't know it, you can't go to the doctor if you don't have a pain. You know, if you go to a doctor, but if you have to have something to be aware of something. And when I touch a stove and burn myself, then I don't need to read 80 books of not touching a stove. Because you're aware that when you have a hot stove, you're going to burn yourself. But the system is like, let me show you what it is to be a CEO. Let me show you what it is. You know, how many leadership coaches do you know? There's not as many leaders as leadership coaches. And what the other question is, why do you want to be a leader? Why don't you want to be a happy, fulfilled team member? I never have that. A coach that makes a be a happy, fulfilled team member. That would be my niche that I would, if I was a coach, I would put in that, you know? It's because everybody wants to be a leader. Why? Have you ever thought about why? Because when you're a leader, you don't have to do the system work. You give the dirty work that nobody wants, and you think you can be creative. That's what I thought when I wanted to be a producer, right? I thought, I'm going to be D, and then I can be creative and whatever. And then Not at all. This is the big lie that we all perpetuating. Look at Instagram or any social media. There's only two classes left. You know, there's more classes than two classes. There's, you know, the poor people, the thing, and you know your buddies that on in Instagram or on any social media. The problem is there's the top people, the idols, Elon Musk, Kim Kardashian, all these people, right? Taylor Swift. And then there's the other people that pretend to live a lifestyle like that or present themselves as a lifestyle. They go one time in a restaurant drinking champagne and making photos, and that's what they're not doing this every day. So you cannot even diversify between this is a star and this is not. And the people that I know, they pretend, I mean, they're making, when they have nothing to say, they make photos of food just to see to have a good meal. Everybody pretends to be something. Just be who you are. And because people think they are not like that. They are not one of one. They don't get that.
Well, that's really interesting. So at the time we're recording this, if you're watching this on replay, you know, there was a big story. Matthew Perry just died, right?
Yeah.
And one of the Friends stars. And I saw an article the other day. I think it was on Google or somewhere that they said that his memoir that he published not too long ago has like gone through the roof in sales. You see this kind of stuff all the time, right? Yeah. Like you see, you know, when any kind of one, you know, big event happens in the world or it goes newsworthy, like there's always these spike in consuming, like you said, like Elon Musk, Kim Kardashian, they know how this game works. It has become kind of a game, right? And it's interesting because it's almost like instead of you break it down into like rich or poor and rich or whatever it might be, it's almost like a it's like a producer and consumer level.
Yeah.
And like you say, like, podcast as well. There's very, very few at the very, very.
Yeah. Then we froze, Dan. I can't hear you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. We had a little connectivity issue, but we're back. We're back in business. So what I was saying was, you know, there is that. It's like it's almost a two-tiered system inside of consumer and producer, and it's really interesting how you see that dynamic always play out. So, like you just were mentioning. Is it a skill thing? Is it a mindset thing? Like what do you think continues to drive that game, really?
The game is it's never enough. It's basically that false in financial principle, the mistake. It's outdated, and you know in nature it's all about balance. So nature doesn't make a million elephants and says, oh, sorry, I made too many elephants, now they had all die. You know, they have nothing to eat. So in nature, everything is balanced. That's the ultimate power. It's not power over. It's not the elephant that has power over the zebra. You know, it's a togetherness. That's why we are also a collaborative animal. If no one person has created New York, no one person has created Apple. It's projected as that, you know. It says, oh, this was Steve Jobs. But without people, Steve Jobs would still solder. And is, you know, it's just, you need collaborative. That the people don't get paid as much is a systems problem. But in generally, we always work, you know, this podcast would not be as good without you or without me. It's better when we are together. And you see that every time when humans together is it. And what I saw, what I think is that's the driver, the pushes. You ask me what pushes us to do this, play this game. It should be a game. It should be fun. It should be a game. The system game of creating a business, creating a podcast, it should be fun. It shouldn't be, oh, it's a serious thing and you have to, it's me or win or lose. And because you have that, it's never enough. It goes to people feeling lack, and the lack has lifted over generation into scarcity. And when I push an animal into a corner, it bites off his paw, even though he knows he needs the paw. It's unnatural. So survival always trumps everything. So when I push the nicest woman in a corner, she's stabbing me. You know, or this the nicest thing. Any animal, woman, man, put him in a corner, stab me. And that's then win or lose. That's make that. And I heard it. I hear this all the time on this business podcast. News too. Oh, but he was from CEOs. He was a tough. Oh, they talked. Yeah, they talked about the Uber, the previous owner. You know, the previous CEO. Yeah.
Okay.
And they said, the new CEO says, he was a tough entrepreneur and he had to do illegal things. If you and I do illegal things. Whoa, you know
what?
Yes, he said. Oh, he couldn't be on the thing. He had to do valet some stuff because he's a tough entrepreneur. I said, I mean, this is like, but this is what we can't handle. We are all in a lack. We are all into kind of scarcity, always looming. You know, and then you have 100,000 people killed in wars. How many people want wars? Tell me, since the Trojan Wars or earlier, when the people, other than the leaders, when the people ever wanted war?
Right.
And they are sacrificed. Nothing works without humans. The thing is, what people need to really wake up to is no system can run without human, giving of their time, because time you cannot pay with money. Giving their time, giving their energy, their life force. You know, you stay up, you come in early, you get this thing done. That's not normal work. That's not fulfilling work. That is pushing something through to the quarter, which is also systemic. There has to be quarters. They have to have a deadline. And we need to wake up to this, to update those systems. There's a lot of money into making systems human-centric. So update them. I'm not against system. No. We are way too many to live without systems. But you live with systems and you make them. Look, we did them. It's not like God did them. We did them. Right. So we can change them. It's not like nature. Oh, I'm going to change nature, which some idiots think they can do. You know, we are part of nature. We can't change it. You cannot change when you're part of something. You cannot change it. Yeah. So we created these systems. We can change them and make them more human adept. But first, we got to be conscious, which you and I do right now. You know?
Very interesting. I'm going to see if I can put you on mute real quick while I ask you the next question. I think just see if it works. Is this working? Okay. Okay. There might be something going on there. So anyway, so that you brought up an interesting point. So, you know, I see a lot of, being in business, I'm subscribed to a lot of the big marketers out there, the big different, you know, the people who are probably propagating this type of stuff, right? But it's very interesting because I have also found a lot of use in AI for what I specifically do and using ChatGPT to help with not only things for myself. You know, I was just talking to my brother-in-law the other day. He said he had a whole business plan that was wrote with ChatGPT, just asked him and it wrote the whole thing and it was really awesome. And it was really, really useful. But there's also people that say, you know, if you say, hey, write me a sales email or do something like that, or write me a business plan or whatever. It's only as good as the inputs that, you know, the outputs are only as good as the inputs. So where do we, what my question is, you know, is there a way that we can, in the future, do you foresee like, because I know they've already said, you know, some search engines are actually penalizing. They can recognize, hey, this is AI-driven SEO content, and we're going to actually penalize that because it's not a human input. It's almost like the big powers that be, like Google and Facebook, like these big conglomerates, kind of innately recognize that, hey, we created this thing that's creating things, and they're not truly authentic, right? Like, Do you think we as people are gonna start to like be able to differentiate between these things? And like where do you see this going in terms of using AI for this type of stuff?
You know, I think nobody would have any problem with any technology if we weren't, you know, if humans weren't aware. Why do we need, like I said that before we talked, I said, why do we need a mixer in the kitchen? Any technology, why do we have it? To make the life easier in repetitive tasks, like, you know, a mixer, you know, it's like you don't mix one time, but if you eat shakes every day, you want a mixer because it cuts down your time. It does it better than if you do it by hand, blah, blah, blah. So it amplifies you. And in that, AI is good. It amplifies your repetitive task because there's nothing to learn in repetitive tasks other than artistry. So if you don't want to be an artist in podcasting, you don't make a lot of podcasts. If you don't want to be an artist in, you know, whatever, computer science, you know, if you just want to be a programmer and that's it, AI is the super thing. But anything that is fresh, and you know, only valuable is what fresh is, and quality is always more important than anything, than mm-hmm. quantity, you know? So therefore, we don't know why we have AI. It's gonna be thrown out because of the lack. Nobody has money. Even the big ones, they see the money gets less. They have to put something new on the market because it's never enough. And they're afraid of losing their power. And you know, today you can lose your power very quickly or gain it. So everybody is in this scarcity and everybody has to bring out thing. And they throw this out and say, and the industry does it for a long time. You know, they put out products that are not safe. And that's why I said, you know, because there's still a lack. If we had enough money, if people had enough where they feel systemically enough, where paying taxes is rewarded, where, you know, stopping at the stop sign is rewarded and not just punished, when there is another side of system regulations, like in nature, it's balanced, then we don't feel that not enough, the collective, because if 90%, like 60% Americans live paycheck by paycheck, don't you think that has an influence on all of us? It doesn't matter how much money. And yeah. That's what Elon feels and Jeff Bezos feels and Biden and Trump, and they all feel that. It's never enough. It's always, and when you try to get you know, any system down, it creates more systems. So we got to be aware first and then make them human-centered. So the solution is not to shrink systems down. Because you can't. There's a law in systems. You always need another system, and ultimately you end up having more. But if you adapt the systems to make it more human centric, to try to really do why we created systems that to serve each of us, because we created them, and we wanted to serve to all of them, not just to one person. You know, if we don't need a system if it's just, you know, the 8 people run the world right now, 8 tech companies that are not regulated. That is not, and we know centralized power is corrupt, not because the people are mean. Centralized power, because what it does when you have all things, you cannot think anymore straight. Look at Putin. I mean, the guy's not bad. The guy is system disturbed. Hitler was system disturbed. He wasn't a bad person. Yeah, it manifested itself that he's bad. He did bad things, or I would rather say inhumane things, but 14 people decided over 6 million Jews to die. 14 people. And now we have 8 people running the world. We gotta be aware. This centralizing power is a danger. It's not that humans are freaking out with it. Centralized power is a danger, and I'm not a socialist or anything like that. I'm just thinking they are unaware. The people that are so high unaware, that we are all in this together. I think they always forget that. They think, like I said, with you, like the with Alan, right? We are all, if everybody, this is when you, the hooligans in England, when you see this photo and that, you know, they study the hooligan when they go down on the field and smash bottles on people's heads.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, and if I show this one, there's an accountant that has no record, nothing. And he hits a bottle on the head off somebody else. I said, and they show him this and he couldn't believe it. I said, no, I didn't do this. I said, it's here on the video. Because we are all interconnected. When you go in a room where everybody's negative, you know that. When you go in a room and everybody's negative, how much power, how energy it costs you to keep pull it up, you know? Or you are in a horrible mood and everybody's not fake mood, but in a good mood. Say, hey, Dan, how you doing? We haven't seen you forever. The first person comes and you are out of your misery. Because you are relevant, you matter. That you matter is why we want to matter in social media. Because we suffer from the untruths that we matter from life. We are 8 billion unique humans, and every single one matters because they exist. Because nature or God, whatever you want to say, doesn't make mistakes. It's like saying, oh, nature makes a mistake. Everything works perfect. But when humans come into it, it's havoc. No.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack there. You opened up a lot of different stuff. So I'm very interested to keep doing this. We got a little bit of time left. We're going to take another quick break, and I'll be back with some additional things here in a little bit.
Introducing Launchpad, the perfect partner to help you launch your dream project to the world. We know that time is of the essence, and we are here to help you make the most of it. With Launchpad, you'll get access to the most advanced digital tools and strategies to take your idea from a mere concept to a fully fledged success. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or a seasoned pro, we have everything you need to make your mark in the world. So why wait? It's time to take the leap and make your vision a reality. Launchpad, your ultimate launch partner. Let's make magic together.
Hi there, I'm Dawn Livingston, your host on the Transcend and Succeed show. Join me Fridays at 2 p.m. Central for limitless inspiration and ways to help you transcend your limitations. Tune into the Achieve TV Network and the Voyage to Vitality channel. Transcend and Succeed show, right here on E360 TV.
All right, welcome back. Yes, we're good. So, a lot. And it's funny you mentioned this because I'm redoing the show. It's funny you mentioned like trying to do commercials, do different things, trying to make it a little bit of artistry. And I think that was also why I got back into this a little bit was I realized I had done the podcast forever. I kind of put it down for a while, and then I felt that, like you said, it's like an inner innate human need to create things and to do some things and to kind of have fun with it. And that's when I started to realize, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do this and have fun with it. And it's almost like, even though I do creative stuff all day, it's just an interesting thing. So anyway, that's a side note, but one thing you said that was interesting was, okay, I'm going about something in my life and I do something and I get rewarded for it. Which is really, really interesting, because I remember hearing a story not long ago about, you know, there's all this talk around different digital currencies in the future, and you know, the ability, everyone always says, oh, well, when you have a digital currency, you know, like something like in China they talk about, and well, I'm seen in a protest against the government, and they can just take money out of your account automatically, right? Which is the opposite of what you're talking about, is like, I go do things and engage in my life, and now it's seen as counter-political or not desirable behavior by some centralized power, and then boom, I'm punished for it. So how would you maybe reverse that to be something where like it could be rewarded in some way?
Anything I'm writing a white paper right now on Never Enough, because that fits with the human centricity and system relevance. There's a ton of things. I wrote about like 8-9 points about the what to do for it. But I think first is consciousness. I mean, look at the wars. We gotta get aware that, hey, we're in Europe. Nobody thought that there will ever be a war, and now we have two. You know, not Middle East and Europe, but it's just never ever did anybody think after this horrid war, Second World War, that there will ever be another war in Europe. It will be over there. It will be over there, but never in thing. And it is. And I think using AI is I wanted to say something about, you know, because I use AI. I use it, and I don't use it anymore. I stopped using it because I found something that was very interesting. It takes a lot of time. And time, even if you have all the stuff, you have to read it. So if you go to, let's say, ChatGPT, and it writes you 8 different versions, you know, because you don't like the first draft and the second draft, then you have to read it. And it's faster for me to write it, you know, and then perhaps put it through an editor, you know, Grammarly or something, versus having them say, write me a business plan. Also, when you think about the business plan, it's like you contemplating about your podcast. AI doesn't have the answer, because your podcast has to be an expression of who you are, and you are one of 8 billion people, a unique one. So the most power that you will ever be available, and it's not a guarantee, but the most power that you can express yourself with your podcast is if your podcast is an expression of you. And that I cannot do, and it costs you a lot. So because basically you become passive. You read something, and you say, "Oh, this is better wording," but you would never use that wording,
right?
So the thing is, but you're relevant because you use that word. I cannot. I'm dysgraphia. I can't read my own handwriting, and I wrote in, I said, I need a drawing, a two-dimensional, I define it, two-dimensional drawing of a circle of life, not fancy, very minimal. Everything was fancy. It just took circle of life, you know, whatever it found on whatever was spot, and made me a combination of them. Also, I found, when you look at the Microsoft wallpaper that they do automatically, they feed you that. It's now run through an AI machine. Every photo, they were brilliant photos, you know, of the whole world and all that. And now they all run through a filter, through an editing filter of AI to do the edit. And they all have a weird feel to it. They don't feel real anymore. They're perfect, perhaps technology wise perfect, but they don't feel real anymore. So I just talked yesterday to an artist who is a photographer, and she creates photos with an old 1820 camera and then uses AI with it. That's like a brush. That's not a thing. It's like photographs. You know, when the camera came out, the artists were saying, "Screw it! Why do I need to do a landscape?" You know, when they already freaked out with Van Gogh distortion of Van Gogh, that's why nobody bought it, because he distorted his thing. Looks not like the German, you know, romanticism where you can see your every. Piece of hair, you know, and they say, why? With a camera, we don't need to. And a lot of people stopped being artists, but the smart artists created modern art. And obviously, and everybody hated it. But I said, why should we do when you click in one click, you have a portrait of people, you know? Wow. So this is going to be exactly the same. But it's I think what was in it, that's my opinion, it's a tremendous hype because we need money. We need to have something new that people are excited about. But that hype is not good. It's not a good thing, that hype, because people, the problem really is, and this is the wet dream of AI, that it does all the system work that we can't create anymore, and it does all our system work. But that's sadly not true, because it takes more time to teach it, to adjust it, to hone us. And that's what all these technology are not saying. Like I said with your podcast, it has to be you. It has to be the words that you, because I might think that are better words when you said that other thing, you know, that I think, that I edited thing. I say, oh my God, Dan, this is greatly written. But I wouldn't have a connection to you, because the connection I have, because I know you, because I know you, how you speak, you wouldn't use the, so I don't use it, because I have a way of talking, you know, that when you read this is perfectly, but there's impersonal. And I think the biggest thing of AI is the beauty is that you an individual, I an individual. We are one of one, both, and we meet and we have an exchange, and that makes it interesting, because it's a chance that two people that never see each other and exchange with each other, that is fresh, that keeps us alive, that raises our spirit. When you get AI results that are all a noise, that are just a noise of, first of all, the past, it has the baked-in biases of the past, and you get a noise and it makes it boring. It makes it boring. You've seen that, done that. I point out, hey, this looks like AI. So even if it wasn't AI, now I'm accusing you to use AI in your drawing or whatever. It doesn't help. It segregates us more. We need to get together. We can't go apart.
Interesting. Well, I got to cut us off there. We're getting right down to the end of the thing here. But this has been very, very interesting. And I promise you, this was not an AI-driven interview. We were both actually here having this conversation. So
yeah,
appreciate all of you. Thank you very much for joining, Michael. Everyone, you can check out more of what Michael offers and does here at michaelm.com. If you're watching on E360 TV or on YouTube, you can get the link there. And we'll also have it in the show notes of the podcast, if you're listening to this on any podcast. So, Michael, appreciate you for coming on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan.
It's been a pleasure. Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining. I will see you in the next episode. And we will talk a lot more about this kind of stuff. Maybe not more of the human type of stuff, since we had it all on here. We appreciate Michael for coming on. And I will see you guys in the next episode.